Over the past few weeks, we've been looking at following Jesus and what it means to be the follower of Jesus Christ. The first week I spoke about that, we looked at how that being a follower of Jesus is about picking up the cross, denying ourselves, and following Him. And I say that in each one of us, as children of God, as believers, we have to embrace the Dolorosa Street in our life. That in one way or the other, whether you like it or not, there is suffering that as a child of God, you have to anticipate to go through before you enter into the kingdom of God. Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So I said part of that, following Jesus, is this readiness to know that we are called not only to follow but also to suffer because of what Jesus suffered for us as part of the cross. And the other week we looked at what it means to be a follower also. We looked at being a follower also means that being somebody who's ready to be a fisher of men, rather being somebody who's able to use the talents, the influence that we have been given and the grace that God has given us in order to bring others into the kingdom of God. Because that's what part of being part of the kingdom is all about. We have acquaintances, we have friends that only we can reach because we are in relationship with them. And I say that evangelism is no longer the kind of thing that you used to have where people say you have to come into the kingdom. If you don't, you go to hell. Evangelism is relational. Because God is a relational God. And I pray that, you know, as children of God, we begin to grasp the message that it's only us, God only uses us, always desires to use us to bring others to the kingdom of God. And I want to follow on just in the same thought of following Jesus as a church and as children of God. And I find that one of the greatest challenges that the kingdom of God faces is for people who believe that being a Christian is all about going to heaven and having to struggle through this life, trying to maintain a lifestyle that qualifies us on this trip to heaven. That is the danger that we have in the church. You find so many individuals, because I am saved, I am born again, and I have a ticket, I'm going to heaven. And that's all. And all they think is Christianity is about struggling. It's a life of struggling until you maintain that life of reaching unto heaven, nothing else apart from that. But as both individuals and communities of Christians, we are called to be a blessing to the world. We are called to make a difference in our world. That is the call that God has called us. I'm always reminded of the call of Abraham. When God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldees, He said, I will bless you, and in blessing, you will become a blessing to other people. And I think that as a child of God, as a community, as a church, the greatest blessing is when we become a blessing to others. That's the call that God has called us. And what better way to fulfill it? In the book of Matthew chapter 5, where I will be reading this morning, verse 13, hear what Jesus Christ said to His disciples. You are the salt of the earth, He said. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It's no longer good for anything but except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under the bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And my message this morning really is entitled, Have Some Flavor in Your Life. I'll read it in the message. The message Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be the salt seasoning that brings out God's flavor for the earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You have lost your usefulness, you end up being in the garbage. Here is another way to put it. You are here to be a light. Bring out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept, but to be revealed. So, my message this morning is, have some flavor in your Christian life. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. And it's very interesting because I've always thought about this scripture so many times and thought, what did really Jesus mean? And I've gone searching, what is the meaning of all this scripture? And I've read and read, thinking, what does it really mean in practical terms? And I was thinking about salt. What does it mean when Jesus stands and says, you are the salt of the earth? You are the salt of the earth. As an individual, as Christian, you are the salt of the earth. What does that mean? I don't know how many of you are familiar with Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He writes something and says that Jesus describes the image of the most indispensable commodity on the earth, that you are the salt of the earth. The earth is preserved by salt. The world lives because of this poor, ignoble, weak people who Jesus Christ calls the salt of the earth. And it says that this divine salt proves its effectiveness as it penetrates every area of the earth. And it goes on to say that when Jesus calls his disciples instead of himself, he's transferring its efficacy on the earth to them. He brings them into his work. Instead of Jesus saying, I am the salt of the earth, he's transferring that part on the disciples and said, you are the salt of the earth. Therefore, Bonhoeffer said, salt must remain salty, not for its own sake, but as well for the sake of the earth. And then he goes on to say, you are the salt of the earth, not that you should be the salt. The disciples are given no choice. Whether they want it or not, they had to be the salt of the earth. What is salt all about? I like the watching on television, MasterChef, where these professional masters bring all the chefs, cooks all over the country, and everyone in their own right has to prepare some food and present it to these professional masters, and they have to taste. And you see the way everybody, the anxiety that goes on in the kitchen and the rumbling and people trying to put flavors together. And these actually are professional chefs in their own capacity, but they are brought together to prepare the meal that to taste, that to make that taste that goes above the normal kind of food that you prepare in the kitchen. And you can see how they are tasting. When they are tasting, someone says, this is really not good because maybe the flavor was too much, or maybe you put a lot of salt, or maybe you would have given a little bit of coriander and you give it a bit of a kick. You know, that sort of flavor. Because everyone loves it. That's why sometimes when we're coming up to the time of Valentine as it's coming, I'm sure some of you are already preparing which restaurant to go to for a Friday. Because you just want to go and have that lovely meal when you can tuck in a steak or sirloin steak because of the flavors, and you just enjoy the food. I love good food. You know, it just makes life great. You are hungry, you have been working all day, you go home and you enter, you just smell the flavors coming. You know there's something good. Flavor is good. It's nice. It's attractive. It makes life better. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying here, that have some flavor. You are the salt of the earth. What Jesus Christ is comparing the disciple is that what salt is to our everyday life, these disciples are to this earth. Salt seasons our food. Salt hinders decay or corruption. It brings out the flavor. It also preserves. It's a preservative. But one thing that I like about salt is that it creates thirsty. When you eat salt, it always, that's food with a little bit of salt gives you an appetite, an hunger, thirsty to drink water. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying. That you as disciples, you bring out all these flavors in the world. You are the salt of the earth. But I was looking on the internet, just looking at the components of salt, trying to remember my science when I was at school. And the Google is good, as Russell alluded to last week. Salt is made up of two chemical properties, which is sodium and chlorine. And I'm told that the only way that salt can be destroyed is when it is under intensive heat. And this sodium actually becomes an inflammable, and the chlorine also becomes a lethal gas when it exposes to too much heat. And actually, to those who are into cooking, who are chefs, they know that when you add a little bit of salt to your water, boiling water, the temperature goes high, therefore reducing the time of your cooking. So in a sense, salt can lose its flavor, its saltiness. It has no choice. When it's under pressure, all these properties can be destroyed. I was finding out from Jim where you get your salt here. Because I was thinking that salt that you put when there is snow, is that the same salt that we eat on our tables? And Jim told me, no, that salt comes from Carrickfergus. And that's where they do the mining. And I'm told that Dennis used to work somewhere there. And some of the trucks which work in the salt, they are made in such a way when they're exposed to a different condition, they can dissolve. Is that true? That is salt. So the world is preserved by salt. Wherever you go, the sea is full of salt. So there is salt everywhere. And Jesus is saying to his disciples that for those who are called, those who have been come to Jesus, who are the Spirit of God, they have this chemical composition in their spirit. Salt has no choice. It can react and it can change when there's an extreme pressure. But what Jesus Christ is saying to the disciples is that we have the choice. We have the choice. While a salt can change the properties, we have the choice where we cannot change our properties of our spirit. Because as I've said, the only way that salt can be destroyed is when it is under pressure. And looking at this portion of scripture, you begin to understand why Jesus is speaking to his disciples. Because he knows that these disciples, they will be persecuted. They will go through all kinds of things that can make them be squeezed, that they lose their saltiness. But he's saying to them, don't allow your composition to change because of the pressure. Because you have the ability to choose to be humble and meek in the face of pride and hatred. You have the choice, which salt doesn't have, to be remain pure in the face of evil. You have the choice to be a peacemaker in the face of contention and conflict. Jesus continues to say, you have the choice to anger and thirst for righteousness in the society which is constantly calling for our attention through media, peer pressure, materialism, and commercialism. So what is he calling us? You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus Christ is saying. You, all of us here as individuals, we have that choice. And I like the way the Bible speaks because it is writing in the context of the Beatitudes. So how can the salt lose its savor? It all has to do with the attitude. And that's one thing I've realized, that every temptation that I go through as a child of God is a test on my attitude. How do I react when I'm under pressure? How do I react when I'm pressed? How does it react? How do I lose my salt? Do I lose my temper? And that's what Jesus Christ is saying, that you are the salt of the earth. You should not allow that salt to lose its flavor. Because if it loses its flavor, it's good for nothing, but it will be trampled upon by men. It is very, very interesting, because one thing I find about this call on the disciples as the salt of the earth is the way salt works. Salt works in such a way that it's an invisible way it works. When you put salt, you can see salt, but you cannot see the way it works when you put it when you're cooking meal, how it goes and penetrates your meat or your food. It's an invisible. It just goes in and penetrates and works. And that's the way it is when Jesus Christ calls his disciples that you are the salt of the earth. Sometimes when you, as a Christian, you don't know, by virtue of you living out your Christian life, the life of God can penetrate within the community, within your family, without even knowing. And Jesus Christ, that's why Jesus Christ is calling them that you are the salt of the earth. Do not let anybody steal that composition of your salt. In the Old Testament, salt was always used in the covenant way. Every sacrifice that was brought in the temple was always smeared with salt. Even cereal was smeared with salt. So there's that sense that, you know, Jesus, who is the salt, who is our sacrifice, who is the salt of the world, gives the birth to us that we, as children of God, we have become that salt of the earth, that covenant aspect of the earth. That through us, God is able to preserve the world. Through us, people can see the love of God and begin to hunger for God. Through us, like the Reverend Russell was preaching last week, when they see the joy of God bubbling within our hearts, they will be attracted and begin to ask those questions. Through us, our community will be preserved. And it's very, very interesting. I've been thinking about this. How has the church been the salt of this community? I know that for some of you, when you think back when this church was first built, what was the impact that this church had in this community? Is our life being smeared around this community where people can feel that flavor of the salt? Or we have come to a place where we are losing our salt? Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. Do not let the composition of what God has done in your spirit be changed. Because people will only look at you, and that's the only way that they're going to see the nature of God. Think about how salt is. Think about your own life. How are you affecting your community? At work, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. The earth belongs to God. The earth also can mean in an area where you're working. If you are a teacher, you are the salt of the earth in education. If you're an accountant, you're the salt of the earth in that area. If you work in Tesco, you are the salt in Tesco. Wherever you are the salt in that area. And Jesus is saying, you should never lose your salt. And if, say, you have lost your saltness, that effectiveness of salt, the Bible says, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In fact, in the book of Revelation, it puts where that if you have fallen from your first love, what do you do? Come and repent. And God will begin to rekindle that fire of joy in your life so that you become effective in the face of this world. But I was also thinking that too much of salt also is not good, isn't it? If you have so much salt in your food will be ruined. And I know it's a danger sometimes as Christians That we can become holier than thou. That we become useless to the world. There's a danger that we can become exclusive, become an exclusive club. That we cannot allow other people to come and invade our world because we think that they will destroy our community. Because that sort kind of sortiness, the Bible says, is destructive. God has called us to be the salt of the world. To be the channel through whom His glory is revealed in the earth. And I pray, and it's my prayer, that this church will begin to think of how we are going to be the salt in this community where God has placed us. How we are going to use our influence. How we are going to use the connection that we have, friends, our talents, our doors and everything that given us to be a people that brings others to the loving, compassion, saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, you are the salt of the earth. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. And I challenge you this morning, even as you go home, think about it. Lord, am I still the salt or I've lost faith? It's terrible when children of God, in fact, I'm thinking of losing your saltness also can also mean losing your testimony. Testimony. Some people have lost the testimony, their testimony of who they are in Christ. Maybe because of what has happened in the past, but there's redemption in the presence of Jesus Christ. If we go back to God and ask God and pray and seek His face, as the Bible says, God will renew us and make us a people that are effective in His kingdom, that this place becomes the salt of the earth. Amen. So wherever you go this morning, in whatever circumstance that you find yourself in, whatever situation that you know that you are the salt of the earth. And God has given that to you. It's a gift from you, from God. And what God desires of it, that you live up to what God has called you to. And do not let anyone destroy that saltiness in your life. Amen.